bless you. It's good to be back home again. And I had a wonderful time with my mother for a couple of weeks there. And I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day this morning. And may the Lord bless you on this day and enjoy your time with your families. Now let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you on this day, Lord, that has been set aside, Lord, to honor the mothers. And we ask, God, that as you've laid on our hearts, dear God, a message to bring, Lord, for that certain need, Lord, I pray, God, that you will guide us, Lord. Anoint us, Father. May our lips be totally yielded to you, Lord, that you may come and say whatever the Lord God that you have, dear God, to deliver to the people to be a help and a strength and an uplifting encouragement, Lord God, to them. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Amen. You may be seated. I was just waiting before the Lord for a message to bring. I always try to bring a message for Mother's Day and to honor the mothers. And I was directed to three different mothers in the Bible, and the first one was Elizabeth. And as we take a look at her, the Bible tells us she was past the years of bearing children, and so it looked like naturally there was no hope for her. But the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias and told him, "You're going to have a son," and then told him what the son was going to do and what the son's commission of the Lord was going to be. And he's telling this before the baby is ever even conceived. So it goes to show you God knows, just like he told Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you and called you to be a prophet." So God ordains people into this world, and he ordains them for a purpose. In this particular case, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, was telling Zacharias, this is the purpose that your son is coming into this world for. Of course, we know that Zacharias says, how can this be? I'm an old man. My wife's old. We're stricken in age. How could this be? And the angel told him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have come to bring you, to speak to you and show you these glad tidings. And he said, you're going to be dumb. You're going to not be able to speak because you didn't believe. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, Zacharias was asking him, how do I know these things are going to happen? And I thought, you know, we can only suppose ourselves if we try to put ourselves in another person's shoes. But friends, if an angel appeared to me and began to talk to me, I wouldn't question anything he had to say. That would be enough for me. The angel appeared, that'd be enough proof. I wouldn't ask for any other proof, but Zacharias didn't believe even though an angel appeared to him, because he was looking at the natural circumstances. Now, when we come down and look at that, then we realize, yep, we're in the same shoes as Zacharias. Because God, maybe not an angel comes and appears before us, but God comes to do something in our lives, and we begin to look at natural circumstances. We begin to look and say, well, I don't see how this is going to be possible. I don't see how that's going to be possible. I don't see how this can take place or happen because of these different circumstances. But all things are possible to God. There's nothing that's impossible with God. But we've got to be like Abraham. Patiently wait after receiving the promise. Don't doubt. Don't allow time to bring doubt. Don't allow circumstances to bring doubt. If God said it, the song says, I believe it. Amen. So I begin to think, you know, the Bible says that she conceived and she went and hid herself for 5 months. And then, you know, I begin to think here that the angel had told them, this is going to be the purpose that your son is going to serve. And so as they had this child, and this child began to do things that are normal for babies. I mean, it had to drink milk. It was just as normal as any other baby. There was nothing outstanding at this point of the birth about the baby. It was just like any other child, any other boy, except for they knew what purpose it was going to serve when they got older. So then, while they were raising this son, they would have had this in mind, that this is the purpose that God is going to serve through our son's life. And so they would know and be careful as they raised the son, what he was exposed to, what influences came his way, that he was raised to serve the Lord. He wasn't just let go. And you realize that, like any other child, he would have needed guidance. He would have needed correction. And, you know, it's just like our children. We may not know what it is that God, the purpose that he has in their life, but you realize everyone that's born, you're here for a purpose and a reason. The Bible tells us that God even raised up Pharaoh to show forth his glory. Everyone that's born into this world is born here for a purpose. Unfortunately, sometimes they choose the wrong things. And it leads them to the purpose. Think about this. In the scripture, it says, "Blessed are ye when people cast your name out as evil." Somebody has got to cast your name out as evil. Somebody's got to fulfill that. Otherwise, you don't get blessed. Those are in the Beatitudes. So somebody had to be born with the purpose to come and cast out a good person's name as evil. But did they have the choice to not do that? Yes, they had the choice to not do it. They were not forced to do it. Pharaoh wasn't forced to do what he did. Pharaoh did what he did because that's who he was. Cain was not forced to kill Abel. No one twisted his arm. Cain did it because of who he was. No one forced Jesus to die on the cross. He chose to do it. That you and I could be free from sin. He did it because of who he was. He was the Son of God. And he was sent here for that purpose. He was sent here to die, that you could be free. He was sent here to take your place so that you could have salvation. He was sent here to pay the price for your sins, for my sins, so that we could be free from those sins. He was sent here to be the righteous one, so that we, the unrighteous, could be made holy. I think about the pressure that Elizabeth and Zacharias must have felt. Because they knew this little baby that they had, this little boy that they were raising, they knew God's got a purpose for him. And this is what it is. He's going to, many are going to rejoice at his birth. He's going to be great in the sight of God. Now, he's not to drink any strong drink or wine. He shall go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, Zacharias was a priest. Surely he knew the scriptures and knew that there was a prophecy in Malachi 4 that the spirit of Elijah was going to visit again. And it was going to turn the hearts of the children, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Is that what it says? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he was to go to forerun the Messiah. And they knew this. How careful they must have been in raising him. Because they knew God's going to use him. So they knew their responsibility. And unlike many today who are self-centered, think more about themselves than they do their children, so many are interested in, what can I do to bring myself pleasure? What can I do to bring myself entertainment and enjoyment? And are more concerned with self than they are their children. And just because maybe perhaps they're not church members, they don't go to church, or they're not Christians, doesn't mean that God's not going to use their children. I know of a man, many of you do as well, who as a child, his daddy made moonshine. And he packed water up to the steel in buckets. But God had a purpose for his life. And when his daddy made fun of him and said, "We had one sissy born into the family. He won't drink any of this." And he said, "Give me that bottle." Before he could take a drink, a whirlwind came down. And he dropped the bottle and went off. Why? Because God had a purpose in his life. And he had told him, "Don't ever smoke or drink or defile your body in any way. Because I've got a purpose for you when you get older. I got a work for you to do." So it goes to show, God can have a work for somebody to do, irregardless of what their parents are doing. But as parents, as mothers, and as fathers, you've got a responsibility. You've got a burden on your shoulders. Now, with that said, when you have a child, don't you think you're going to answer before God for how you raised the child? I believe that I'll have to answer before God for how I raised my children. Now, I don't have to answer for their choices. But the Bible gives us instructions. Bring up a child in the way he should go. So we've got instructions. So what a load, burden, responsibility lay on Zacharias and Elizabeth. I've got to raise a son that's going to forerun the coming of the Messiah. What do I do from day to day? And you know, this might surprise you, but John, just like children that are born in the world today, didn't come with an owner's manual. You know, if you buy a car and something starts going on with the car, you can look in the owner's manual. If you need to know how to do something with the car, you can look in the owner's manual. You buy a lawnmower, you get an owner's manual. You buy a grill, you get an owner's manual. No matter what you buy, you get an owner's manual. But children don't come with owner's manuals. you buy something else in this world or have something else, something's given to you, why, there is usually in the back of the book, there's something that's called troubleshooting. And you can look at this and say, well, if this is happening, then this is what I should do. But children don't come with books that have troubleshooting in the back. And we're just human, capable of making mistakes. As a matter of fact, I believe that all mankind, one of the things we're plagued with is mistakes. We all make mistakes. All right, y'all should have hung your wings up out there. We ain't got room in here for them. We all make mistakes. Sometimes we get angry, scold our children out of anger. And even though what we said might have been right, we did it wrong. We said it in the wrong way. So then you got to kind of swallow your pride when you realize it. And go to your little boy or little girl and say, now look, mommy or daddy, we shouldn't have scolded you out of anger like that. Amen. But now we want to reiterate what we said. You need to follow this. Oh, but how many have been taught you don't do that? You don't ever admit to your mistakes. Years and years ago, I knew a man. And he used to say all the time, I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong. In other words, like the young man that came to apply for a job and he didn't have an eraser on his pencil. And the man asked him, why don't you have an eraser? He said, I don't make no mistakes. He said, well, then I can't use you. Because everybody makes mistakes. You're just one of them that won't admit it. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If any man say he hasn't sinned, the Bible says he's a liar. We make mistakes, and we make mistakes raising our children. And I'm sure that Zacharias and Elizabeth were no different than any other parent. They made mistakes. But it's what do you do with your mistakes? Do you learn from them? Do you correct yourself from your mistakes? Or do you try to sweep them under the rug, so to speak? Let's just forget that ever happened. You know, you can cause your child to become bitter. The Bible said you shouldn't treat them in a way to anger them. Mm. Oh, sure, we have sometimes the children will say and do things if they're not getting their way. And they'll say, well, I don't love you anymore when they're not getting their way. Or I'm just going to leave home. I'm talking about 5-year-olds. I'm not even talking about teenagers yet. Teenagers, oh my. That's a category altogether different. That's a hard one. You know, that's hard on the individual as well as being hard on the parent. There they're between being a child and being an adult. And so sometimes they're both at the same time. Sometimes they'll take an adult situation and act like a child about it. And sometimes they can be 40 years old and do that. Especially if they've been let go. So, oh, that's just how they are, you know. That's just them. I never got that at home. I never got that at home where my dad or mom would say, that's just Jerry. That's just how he is. I didn't get to just be that. I got corrected if it wasn't right. Now, was I any different than the other child? No. There was times I was just Jerry. I did things a certain way. I was a certain way. And it didn't matter what was done to me or what was said to me. I was still going to do it anyway. Oh, that's called rebellion. And children can be rebellious. Turn with me. Let's go on down to the 26th verse of Luke chapter 1. And we find this is following where it says that Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months, and then it starts here and says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Oh, and I thought about this, what the angel said to her, and this being Mother's Day. And he said, you're highly favored of the Lord. The Lord's with you. You're blessed among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God should give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there shall be no end. Now here's another mother. And the same angel comes to her 6 months later after coming to Zacharias. And says, you're going to have a son. And he's going to have a purpose in life. But he didn't, either time, the angel never told them, like with Elizabeth and Zacharias, your son's going to end up being beheaded for what he preaches. He didn't tell Mary, your son is going to be crucified. Just told him part of what it was going to be. God doesn't always tell us everything. And you know, I've had, my wife and I has bore 4 children. And God never one time came down and said, they're going to do this, they're going to be that. This is the purpose they're going to serve. But we did our best to raise them to serve the Lord, to show them the importance of dedicating their life to the Lord, surrendering to God, being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you know, if time tarries, they're going to become adults. You're there to catch them when they fall, when they're children. You're there to help them. Do they make mistakes? Yes, they make mistakes. But you're always there to catch them when they fall. You're always there to pick them back up. You know, when they're learning to walk, if they fall down, you don't spank them. No, you pick them up, steady them back on their feet, and help them to walk. They make mistakes. They make wrong choices. You know what you're to do? Help them to learn from the wrong choices while they're young, while they're little, while their choices are not having long-term effects on their lives. Because as they get older, they're going to be faced with more things. And the things they're faced with are going to have long-term effects on their lives. There's going to be influences. They're going to come their way. Those of you that went to public school, I'm going to tell you something. Public school was horrible for me. I don't know about you, but it was horrible for me. I look back on it, and I told my mother when I was up there visiting, I said, boy, I wish we could have done schooling the way kids can do it today. The homeschooling that they can do. I wish we could have done that when I was growing up. Man, the things I would have missed out on. Nobody would have been introducing me to marijuana. Nobody would have been introducing me to drinking.
That's right.
Nobody would have been, you know, there wouldn't have been any of those things. But sooner or later, in this life, at some age and point, they're going to be faced with these different things, even if they are homeschooled. And they're going to have to make choices. They're going to have to make decisions. You know, my mother-in-law, God bless her, miss her today. I was just a very young teenager when I met her. And one of the things she always expressed to me was that sometimes you'll make wrong decisions. Learn from them. You've got to make your own decisions. You become an adult, you've got to make your own decisions. And sometimes you make the wrong ones. Learn from them. Sometimes in your Christian walk, you do the wrong thing. You say the wrong thing. You do something that you shouldn't have done. To put it bluntly, sometimes we sin. We make a mistake in our Christian walk. Don't try to bury it and forget about it. Analyze it. Look and say, why did this happen? Why did I fall to this? Because you know it was just a trap of the enemy. So look at it so that you won't repeat it. And that's one of the things we want to teach our children while they're young. Don't keep repeating the same behavior. And if, you know, I'm a believer in the fact that you can actually communicate with them on their level. You don't got to treat them like they're dumb. But you've got to remember and put yourself back in time a little bit to understand them and understand where they're coming from. Like, understand their fears. As children, a lot of times they'll have fear. There's an age where they tell us that they go through a time of fear. And where they weren't afraid of things before, all of a sudden they become afraid. And sometimes there's things that happen that causes something. And you need to talk to them. And listen. That's one of the things I think as parents that we couldn't do enough is listen to them. When they ask us a question, don't just dismiss the question. And answer the question on their level. Answer it where they can understand it. Don't be embarrassed by the question they might ask you. Right. Find out what they're really asking you. Right. Here's Mary. She knows that her son is going to have a purpose and she's going to have to raise him. And the angel tells her he's going to be the Son of God. Because she asked him, how can this be, seeing I've not known any man? He says, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And you're going to conceive. And that holy thing that is conceived in you is going to be called the Son of God. And I know this may hurt some people's feelings, but Jesus was born in the same kind of flesh that everybody else is born into. Yes, it was created in the womb of Mary. That's the difference. But it was still a flesh that was going to get old. It was still a flesh that could die. And he was going to be a little boy like any other little boy. He was going to need guidance. He was going to need nourishment. He was going to need looking after. He was going to need care. He was going to need love. Showing your children love. Love isn't always just a pat on the back. The Bible teaches us that love is corrective. God corrects us because he loves us. What kind of a father would he be if he didn't correct his children? Just let us go. Get on the wrong path. and never say anything to us about it. He's saying something to you about it this morning. Oh, I know this isn't a fiery message. You know, Jesus, under the greatest anointing ever to come on earth, sat down and didn't say nothing. He said, this day the scriptures fulfilled. And then he gave the books back and sat down. Excitement is not anointing. Sometimes we get excited under the anointing. It depends on how the anointing is coming. It's dependent on the message that God's laid on the heart. So don't take, because of the way that this message is being presented this morning, that there's no anointing to it. Because all I've got down here is scriptures. And I highlighted a few things in the scriptures. I prayed and sought the Lord and looked and tried to find, what am I going to say? And then I had to just realize, well, God, you're just going to give me what to say when I get up there. And then the song service started. And from the very first song, I knew who had laid this on my heart. Because the songs, you don't know the conversation that happened in the back before Brother Nate came out. But he asked me, is there ever a time when you feel like, even though you've got songs down, that you don't know if you got the right ones? Or you don't feel like you got enough? Yeah. I said, sometimes I feel like I ain't got enough. So he didn't know what I was going to speak on. He didn't know what God had laid in my heart, but the songs that he brought and sung were fitting right in with this. From the very first song, when he began singing about the baby Jesus. You know what Mary said after the angel told her all these things about her having a child and who he was going to be and what he was going to do? Unlike Zacharias, who said, how can this be? I don't know if I can really believe this. Right. Angel. Gabriel. Right. She said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. But you know what he also told her? He said, your cousin Elizabeth, who is well stricken in years, has already conceived and is going to have a son. And the angel told her, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, the scripture in Isaiah, under the inspiration of God, spoke and prophesied and said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And spoke about what that son was going to be and what he was going to be here for and the things that were going to happen to him. Yet, when Mary was found to be with child, no one believed the virgin could conceive. Why? Because that just doesn't happen. Now, let me tell you, that's just not how it happens, they would tell Mary. They couldn't even believe their own scrolls. Their own prophecies that they held dear, they couldn't even receive them. It's because God's word is fulfilled, but it doesn't come about a lot of times in the way we think that it's going to. Because the Bible tells us that our thinking is not God's thinking. Our thoughts, he says, are not his thoughts. God, with God all, he doesn't look at it and say, boy, now this is going to be a head scratcher. How am I going to do this? God just speaks and it happens. How am I going to create light? Let there be light. No wonder he said, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. It's hard for us to actually even conceive God. That's why he came down and became one of us. So we could have a God. Man could have a God that he could behold and touch. But even then, so many wouldn't believe him. He says, if you don't believe me, believe the works. And you know, when these two boys, John and Jesus, when they reached the age where the purpose that they were sent here for by God was to be served, do you realize their mothers had to give respect to that? Remember when Jesus was about 12 years old and he was in the city with Joseph and Mary, and he went into the temple and they left, Joseph and Mary and their little caravan left, and they got a ways off and they realized, wait a minute, where's Jesus? We forgot him. Where's he at? And the Bible said they went searching for him. By this time, he had become common to them. He was just a 12-year-old boy to them. But here he went to the temple. And Mary came and said, your father and I have been searching diligently for you. And Jesus corrected her, 12 years old. I must be about my father's business. And he wasn't talking about Joseph. You know, I believe that as parents, we have to give an account for how we treat our children. And again, I will reiterate, we do make mistakes. I'll tell you this, I've made a mistake and whipped the wrong child before. Because one said, that one did it. And I believed him. And the one that was pointing the finger saying that one did it was the one that actually had done it. And the wrong one got whooped. And I didn't say beat. Just a little spanking. You know, I had a relative one time when our children were all young. She had young children. We had young children. And we would go out to eat on a Sunday. And a lot of times they wanted the brothers to sit together and the sisters to sit together and all this, you know, and that. And so I would, my wife and I, we would set our four at a booth, just the four of them by themselves. And we knew they would behave. And, well, even before that, when Nate was little enough to be in the high chair, sometimes he wanted to sit by Mamaw. And so he would go to act up because he wasn't around me, and my mother would motion to me, and I'd say, tell him to look at me. And she'd say, look at your daddy, and he'd say, Because I knew if I could just make eye contact with him, he'd stop. But this relative of mine said, I can't take my kids anywhere like you do your kids. I take them out to eat, and we got food everywhere, and there's a mess, and they won't sit down, and all this. And I said, hey, look, my kids weren't born angels. They weren't born perfect. They needed to be taught. Well, I spank them, and I do that. I said, whoa, wait a minute. It's not all about the spanking. It's about being consistent with your training. Don't let them get by with it one time and then get upset because you're embarrassed about it. You've got to guide them, teach them. Do you know where they learn table manners? At home. When I see children out in restaurants, just being wild or being messy, I know that's how they are at home. Because there's one thing about children. They are not hypocrites. They will not act one way at home and another way somewhere else. If they're a wild one, you know, out somewhere else, they're that way at home. They get by with it. And then the parents get out and they get embarrassed about it because of where they're at. Look, just teach them at home. You won't have to go through all that. And I know the best that you can do teaching them at home, sometimes they're still going to act out and need a little reminder. One thing I can say about my dad, he never lied to me. If my dad told me, I'm going to buy you a bicycle, then I knew my dad was going to buy me a bicycle. If my dad said, you're going to get a spanking when we get home, I knew I was going to get a spanking when I got home. We didn't get home and just forget about it. As a child, I wish we could have. But because of that, I always believed him. I was just a little boy. I don't remember exactly how old, maybe about second grade, maybe. And my dad had promised me a bicycle. And I wanted a particular bicycle. I wanted one with the racing slick on the back, a banana seat, and the chopper handlebars, you know. And I wanted the chrome fenders, you know, the racing slick in the back. That wheel had to be bigger than the one in the front. Yeah, I come from the 70s. And he said, I'll get it for you. I never asked him about it again. This is testimony from my parents. I never one time said anything more about it. And one day, he surprised me with it. Now, I was too young. I didn't know how much saving and sacrifice it was going to take them in order to get that bicycle. Yeah, I was an only child. So it's a little different, I guess, when you come from a bigger family. But I learned from that. You know, my grandfather, Brown, my mom's dad, I learned a lot from him. I learned how family should be. You know, he could kid around, but he could also be serious. He taught us there was a time for joking around, there was a time to be serious. And he taught me the value of family, the value of love and respect in a family. I remember the days, holidays and different times when the whole family would gather into his great big house. And he had a hallway that was as wide as, wider than, well, from the end of this pew over to the wall, about that wide and about that long. It was a big old house. It had been a boarding house years before he got it. And he would put tables together and set the tables up in that big long hall. And the whole family gathered around the tables. And we had dinner together. My dad come from a bigger family. He grew up poor. He had two pair of pants, that was all he owned. He had shoes for school, but went barefoot any other time. He taught me the value of things. Not to be wasteful, how to take care of things. How to be appreciative of the things that you get, the things that you have. Those are all things that we're responsible for as parents. Teaching our children to be polite. Look at the society the way it is today. Children are being taught to disrespect the law. Children are being taught to be disrespectful to their elders. Disrespectful to adults. When they should be taught to be respectful. Whatever happened to yes, sir, and yes, ma'am? Years ago, I worked in a retail. And I was had a position of floor manager. What that really entailed was anytime there was a problem customer, I was sent down by upper management to take care of it. And I'll tell you, friends, I have had people talk to me all kinds of ways. I had a lady throw her pencil at me. I remember that particular time the lady threw her pencil at me simply because she brought in this, I think it was an answering machine, and it, if y'all remember what those were, and no box, no nothing. The thing looked like they had beat it. And she wanted me to take it back. And I said, I'm going to need you to bring it back with the box and everything. Because I knew this thing was older than what she was trying to say it was. And I know they say the customer's always right. That is not true, my friend. So she threw a pencil at me. And you know what? She came back with the box. She left and came back with a box. And I happened to be coming back from break, and I saw her coming toward the door, and I opened the door, and she went, "I ain't walking through your door," and went over and opened her own. I said, "Well, okay. You're still going to have to deal with me when you get in there. You're not going to get to deal with somebody different." Oh, my. The language and everything. And you know what? I thought, how were they raised? Did their parents not teach them to be respectful? And then I saw a video of a little boy. This isn't too long ago. And on here, these parents took this video, and like intelligent people that they were, they posted it. And it was the little boy saying all kinds of swear words and foul language. And he was just barely able to talk. That young. Those parents got arrested because they posted it. So the sheriff got sent over there. But they were teaching this little boy to talk that way. And he was, friends, he was using it properly. He wasn't just spouting off words. He was mad at whoever was taking the video. And he was just going off on them. And the little fella couldn't have been more than about 4 years old, if even that. He could talk, but, you know, he might have only been three. I don't know. But, man, he was just going off. Where did he hear that from? How did he know how to use those words? Because the mom and dad talked that way. They talked that way to one another. They talked that way to him. They talked that way to other people. Think what that child's going to be like when it grows up. We've got a responsibility. Well, I had one more mother. And that was Hannah. And I'll just cover this just real quick and close. Hannah wasn't visited by an angel. Hannah wasn't told what the purpose that God would have for her son. But instead, Hannah went praying for a child and asked God for a son and said, made a vow, if you'll give me this son, I'll turn around and give him back to you that he can serve you all the days of his life. And she didn't just mean being a good godly person. She meant he was going to give his life to the service of God. And Hannah had a child. And her husband went to offer sacrifice and to worship. And Hannah said, I'm not going to go up there with you right now. I'm going to wait till the child is weaned. And once the child is weaned, then I'll go up to worship so I can present him to God to remain in the house of the Lord and in the service of God for his life. So here's a mother who believed there could be a purpose for her son. And Hannah took and turned him over to the Lord. gave him back. You know, I'm going to close this so I can close. My mother, you know, she was a wife of a pastor. She knew what it was like to be the wife of a pastor. She knew what a pastor's life was like. And so my parents, they never wanted a pastor's life for me because of what all it could entail. But they raised me to put God first. And my brother, they raised him the same. Now my dad's gone, home to be with the Lord. And both myself and my brother are pastors. And I think about, you know, as a parent, my mother, I'm sure, was proud when we gave our life to the Lord the way we did into the service of God. But at the same time, there had to be something that said, oh man, what's ahead of them? What they're in for? And Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord for the Lord to use. You don't know your children, what they might be the purpose that God has for them in this life. But friends, they're the future of this church as it tarries on. Because if God in time tarries, it's inevitable we're going to lose some to death. We've already lost some. And there's going to be, who's going to be the church of tomorrow? The children. Maybe they'll be the next pianist or organist or drum player or the next song leader, the next guitar player, the next pastor. I don't know how much longer the Lord's going to tarry, but I know I'm not going to live forever. Not in this life. And if time tarries, somebody else is going to have to take up the torch. And we've had so many bad examples of what not to do. I want to know that I'm leaving a good example of how to do, how to be for the children, for the church of the future. The prophet said, watch how you treat your children, for their angels do always behold the face of the Father. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray your blessings on the mothers today, dear God, and their daughters, dear God, and their families, Lord, and that you'll bless their time of fellowship and together today, Lord God, and may they have a wonderful time and wonderful dinners and Lord, fellowship. And I pray, dear God, may your blessings rest upon them, dear God. I pray, Lord, that your blessings on the church as a whole, dear God. You know in our needs, dear God, we ask, God, that you visit us again, Lord, as time would come for the next service, Lord, to minister to the needs of the people, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen.